again, friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable. It's time for another edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. Hope you stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. We're going to talk about the most wonderful love in all of the world, and that's the love of God. And the love of God not just for the world, but for you today and for yours. God is so gracious to reveal to us just how much He loves us in what He's done for us through Jesus Christ on the cross. I never get tired of ministering about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have been in gospel ministry for 35 years, and I am not tired talking about Jesus Christ and His wonderful sacrifice at that old rugged cross. I'm telling you today, if you ever get a real understanding of what He has done for us, I use the term the majesty and the magnitude of the love and glory that was shown to us clearly on that old rugged cross, you'll want to love Him and serve Him and know Him as your personal Savior all the days of your life. Amen. So we hope you stay tuned for the next 30 minutes. If you're a Christian, we hope you fall more deeply in love with your Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you're not a Christian, we pray that you will stay tuned. We give you a cordial invitation to please stay tuned and listen to why we preach this gospel and why this gospel is so precious to us as believers. And listen to the claims of Christ and look at what He has done for you today so that you might have eternal life. God is so great today and so gracious to us, and we're so happy to be right here on WMAF every Tuesday at 2 p.m., and we pray that you will help us advertise this radio station and this broadcast, because both will be a blessing to anyone who becomes a consistent listener. This is a great station, family-friendly. I am very honored to be part of the format of WMAF, and it's just a good station. And if you have a computer listening anywhere in the world, you can listen to this broadcast on WMAF by going to WMAF Home and just clicking on their streaming broadcast. And it's 24/7. And listen in every Tuesday at 2, and on Sunday from 12 to 1, there's a live excerpt from a live morning worship service where we minister under the anointing, the mighty Word of God. So we invite you to tune in both of those broadcasts, Sunday morning alive, direct from the Holy Church of God, from 12 until 1, and also this teaching broadcast, Let's Talk About Jesus. Amen. We're going to talk today about the wonderful wounds of Christ. We have been talking about the suffering servant scripture in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, which many Bible scholars call the gospel, in the Old Testament. It is a whole chapter dedicated to one who would come and die a suffering death that we might be forgiven our sins. And it is all about Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to make some statements about the wonderful wounds of Christ to open this broadcast today. Jesus didn't just die for us. He suffered and died for us. He took our place and He took our punishment. He became our substitute and our sacrifice lamb. And we celebrate this, you know, in Holy Communion, that the blood and represented by the juice and the body represented by the bread broken, the blood poured out for us. Our Savior was tortured to death on the cross. In both hideous and beautiful is the story, because it's a story that is hideous because of the pain and agony that He was put through. It's a story that becomes beautified by the love that held Him to that cross, because as I've said before, nails could not hold Him to the cross. It could hold anyone else on this planet to the cross, but it couldn't hold him because he was God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. What manner of man is this, they said of him, Jesus Christ, that even the wind and rain obey him. Amen. What manner of man is this? He's not like the scribes, they said, because he speaks as one that has authority. What manner of man is this that turns water into wine and raises the dead? What manner of man in this is this? It is God come to earth, taking on flesh to suffer and die a death of a criminal on the cross who had committed no sin, so that you and I could be set free. So there's something very horrible about his wounds, and there's something very beautiful about his wounds. His wounds were both horrible and wonderful at the same time. Isaiah 53, I'm going to read it again, verses 1 through 5. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Someone has said, I asked Jesus how much he loved me, and he said this much, and he stretched out his arms and died for me. Well, you know, that's true in a fashion, but he didn't just stretch out his arms and swoon into darkness and death. He stretched out his arms to hang for 6 hours in terrible pain and agony on the cross before death finally came to release him from that agony. He was tortured terribly before he ever got to the cross to be nailed upon it. C.S. Lewis wrote, when Christ died, he did not die for societies or states, not for the impersonal masses of humanity, not even for men and women, but for each man and each woman. He continued to say, if we alone were the only created being, he would have done no less. In verse 5, Isaiah uses a series of emphatic personal pronouns in the plural. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Bible commentator Kyle said there were no stronger expressions to be found in the language to denote a violent and painful death. The wonderful wounds of Jesus Christ reveal God's great love. Christ's suffering and death on the cross revealed in the strongest terms just how much God loves you and me. You know, there's even a scripture that says of this, how easy it is to say the words and not really express in terms of real genuineness, love. It said, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It doesn't mean that we don't tell people we love them, but we follow up that statement with acts that really prove that love. Jesus didn't just tell us that God loved us. He went to the cross and died to show us just how much that God loved you and God loved me. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8 says, For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want to read that from the Amplified. This is so powerful, this verse of Scripture. While we were yet in darkness, powerless to help ourselves, at the fitting time Christ died for, in behalf of, the ungodly. Now, it is an extraordinary thing for one to give his life, even for an upright man. though perhaps for a noble and lovable and generous benefactor, someone might even dare to die. But God shows us clearly and proves His own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. What a portrait of the true meaning of grace, the Holy Messiah dying for sinful men. Talk about unmerited favor, grace, or God's riches at Christ's expense. Why did He do it? To demonstrate the power of His love for us. When He had no strength, when we had no strength, no merit, nothing but offenses to God, He loved us enough to punish His Son in our place. In fact, that's the only way He could forgive us, because He couldn't just sweep our sin, so to speak, under the rug. Sin had to be punished. A holy God cannot overlook sin. A God of justice cannot execute a judgment. So the only way He could save us was to have His Son come and take our place on the cross and punish Him in our place. The chastisement of our peace was laid on Him. And God hath laid on Him, it went on to say, the iniquity of us all, and punished our iniquities in Him, so that we can have eternal life. That's what Christmas is all about. You know, we're moving quickly to Christmas Day, and you can get caught up in the commercialism of it and miss the spiritual essence of what this day really represents. Amen. This is not about the greatest bargain at the mall or the biggest present under the tree that we're headed for. It's about the greatest gift that the world has ever known, the gift of eternal life through the gift of God's Son. When He gave His Son for the world, He didn't just give us a healer, a counselor, a helper, a miracle worker. He gave us a lamb to be sacrificed in our place on the cross, that we might go free and that we might have eternal life. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to read this again from the book of Ephesians this time. Chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. It said, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Again, I want to read it from the Amplified. "But God, so rich is He in His mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which He loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, He made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ Himself, the same new life with which He quickened Him. For it is by grace, His favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation." The gospel, the good news of God's love for fallen man, is still changing lives in the 21st century. In the postmodern world, this is still the greatest story ever told. This is still the good news that we need to hear, that we who have sinned and come short of the glory of God can be gloriously saved. We can be forgiven all of our sins. We can be made new in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Listen to the testimony from a star child. It said, after years in radical feminism, Wicca, Hare Krishna, leftist politics, and affairs with married professors, I bought into New Ageism and then finally began following an Indian guru and converted to Hinduism. I wore a sari, I put a red bindi spot on my head, chanted in Sanskrit, and lived in an ashram. I nearly killed myself thinking I was a star child with infinite human potential and the power to create my own reality. And then in big block letters she writes, "What a crock. The greatest day of my life came when I discovered that I, like everyone else, was a hopeless sinner, unable to do the simplest things to save myself. God loved me just as I was, and Jesus was the prescription. Jesus was the cure. I ask Him into my life, and I ask you to do the same." and her name was Kathleen. Let me read from another Kathleen's testimony. It happened to be two Kathleen's testifying here. Another Kathleen writes, Kathleen Jones in prison on drug charges, a woman who never knew love, who loathed herself and wanted to die. This is her her letter of testimony. She said, on September 23rd, 1999, I was arrested again. Once again in the system, just like all the other inmates, or so I thought. Little did I know this was a divine appointment. I was here for such a time as this. The last thing I ever imagined was an encounter with the author of Love himself. On November 16th, 1999, God spoke to me through a young lady who came to minister to us through the jail ministry. She took my face in her hands, looked me in the eye, and said five words to me that I will never forget. She said, Jesus loves you so much. At that moment, I don't know why, but I believed what I had just heard. I believed in the love of Jesus Christ. Then she placed her hands upon my head and prayed for me. And then she gently whispered in my ear, Kathleen, you are delivered. And at that point, the empty feeling in the middle of my chest was suddenly filled with the love of God. God had given me a new heart, full of love for Him. I haven't been the same since that moment. After reading the book of Hosea, the love of God had for me became real. I became transformed day by day. It does not matter that I'm still here in prison, because I am free in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said in the New Testament, if you continue in my word, John's Gospel chapter 15, verse 30 and 31, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. John 8, 30, 31, and the truth will set you free. Praise God. For whom the Son sets free, another scripture says, is free indeed. This is the kind of freedom we need, that even though we be in a prison of stone and metal, we are free people on the inside, free from the guilt and the shame and the emptiness that sin brings into our life, and filled with the love of God. The Apostle Paul said, there is nothing present, nothing coming, angels, principalities, nothing, death, life, any other thing that can separate me from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. You may be hearing this in prison today. You may be listening somewhere up in North Florida to this broadcast in prison. I'm telling you, God can set you free right where you are, free on the inside. Hallelujah. God can set you free even if you're not in a prison of stone and metal. God can set you free from a prison of fear. God can set you free from a prison of depression. God can set you free from a prison of brokenness, a prison of addiction. God can set you free from a prison of guilt and shame today. And He can do it because of what Jesus did on the cross. If there's any doubt that God loves you enough to do this, I want you to understand He was wounded for your transgressions. He was wounded for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was laid upon Him, and with His stripes you can be healed today, this very day. The wonderful wounds of Christ give us worth, value, not because of who we are or what we've done, but because of the price that He paid to set us free. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. I've read this before. I've just got to read it again. It fits so well into what we're talking about today. It says, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times. Listen to this, friend, for you. It's personal. The gospel is not about the masses of humanity, though Jesus died for the world. But it becomes so real when you personalize the gospel and realize that Jesus came to die for you, and He came to die for me. And if you were the last person standing on this planet, Jesus would have done no less to save you than He did for all of mankind. That's how much He loves you and me today. One translation said he paid your ransom with Christ's sacred blood. The price paid for you at the cross gives you value and determines your worth. Most of us are not like the egotist of whom it is said, "I would like to buy him for what he thinks what he's worth and sell him for what he thinks he's worth." Amen. Someone said of because the great state of Texas is so huge and there's a lot of bragging from Texans sometimes that a Texan who was a great braggart about all of his lands and how huge his ranch was finally died, and he himself was a big man, over 6'7" and 275 pounds, and the funeral home says, "You know, we need to find a casket that's really big enough to put him in." And someone who knew him personally said, "Just let all the hot air out of him and bury him in a shoebox." I'm telling you today, folks, there is nothing we can do to earn eternal life. There is no greatness, no goodness, no merit in us. Our worth comes not from the great land holdings we have, or the money we possess, or the talents, or the abilities, or the personal physical beauty. What gives us value and worth is not our achievements. What gives us value and worth is that we are loved enough for God to give His Son for us. Maybe you have been trodden down in life because you haven't achieved great things, and maybe you're not rich and famous, and most of us aren't, so join the crowd here. But I'm telling you something, you have great value and you have great worth today because of what Jesus has done for you and for me on the cross. I feel rich today, though I can't do a lot of investing because I don't have surplus. But I'm telling you what, I feel rich beyond my wildest dreams today because I am saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the price He paid for me gives me great value and gives me great worth. I feel worth as a preacher, not because I'm a famous evangelist on television. I feel worth today because my Savior died for me. There's a lot of people that can preach the gospel better than I can, but there is no one that can preach a better gospel, and that fires me up to keep on preaching. Praise God. And I pray that you listen to this little preacher here today, and that you listen to what I'm saying from God's Word, because what I'm saying to you is unequivocally true. God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. Most of us struggle with negative self-image problems. At the cross, looking up at that grotesque figure, hanging there in agony, paying our ransom, we are worth more than many sparrows. That's how much God values you, and how far He was willing to go to save you and me. In a tropical island culture, this is a true story. A man had two daughters, a young, beautiful daughter, and an older daughter, not so beautiful. A handsome young man fell deeply in love with the older sister and asked for her hand in marriage. The father had set a price of 6 cows for his older daughter and 8 cows for the younger. The next day, the young man showed up with 10 cows. The father said, "I only asked 6 cows for her hand in marriage." The young man replied, "Ah, but she is a 10-cow woman." Hallelujah. I love that story because he looked past the outside and the outward appearance, and he saw the beauty of character, not just the outward expression of beauty, the physical part of that. You know, God looked past all of our sins and failures, and He saw something inside us worth saving, worth salvaging, worth so much to Him that He would give His Son in our place on the cross. I'm telling you today, amen, God is the one that has set the value on your life and mine. Not society, not other people, not even our parents. You may be the black sheep in your family, but you can be one of God's sheep in His fold today. Amen. And when you take your place among one of His sheep, the great shepherd will love you equally with everyone else, no matter where you've been or what you've done. There is love and acceptance in Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Amen. What is our value? What are we really worth? Nothing less than God's Son as our sacrificed lamb. Nothing less than the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The wonderful wounds of Jesus Christ stimulate devotion. They make us want to serve Him. They cause us. It draws love out of me every time I look back at the cross and what Jesus did for me. It just draws love out of me. The Apostle Paul said it this way in the New Testament: the love of Christ constraineth me. And someone told the wonderful story. This is not a biblical statement, but it's a wonderful story about someone quizzing during the time of Paul's imprisonment. Someone quizzing the disciples and what motivates Paul to stay so positive? What keeps him after he's been beaten so many times and in prison? What keeps him preaching like he's preaching? And what keeps him so enthusiastically proclaiming the gospel after so many heartaches and heartbreaks and rejections and so many things have happened in his life? He was beaten with rods. He was beaten with the cat of nine tails 5 different occasions. He was stoned and left for dead. What keeps him going on and keeping on with such victory and enthusiasm? And the answer came, he's in love. And the question shot back, with whom? And the disciple answered, with Christ. And the question came again, is that all? And the answer came again, that's everything. I'm telling you today, if you ever fall in love with Jesus Christ for what He's done for you on the cross, nothing will stop you from serving Him. Even in discouragement, it will be as a fire shut up in your bones. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I could show you some scars. I have pastored for over 30 years, 34 years in one place, and a year before coming to this church. And I'm telling you, I could show you some scars. Pastors take hits to stay in ministry. But you know what scars are? They are indicators that wounds have been healed. And I have the scars. I bear the marks. Amen. But I have joy in my heart. Those scars have made me better and not bitter. And it is a choice today, because I still love Jesus. Jesus was faithful to me through it all, gracious to me through it all, picked me up when others knocked me down. Hallelujah. So I'm not here to give a pity party for me today or anyone else. I'm here to tell you that His grace is sufficient. His love is intact. And I love to say with Paul of old, there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. Amen. The only thing that could possibly separate anyone is losing their clear view of Jesus on the cross. That's when the first love begins to wane, and that's when it begins to die. Amen. But God wants us to keep our focus today squarely upon the One who was willing to lay down His life that we might have life, and that more abundantly, and that we might have life, and that eternally, that when this life is over, heaven awaits us. He awaits us, and we move from time to eternity, from sickness and heartache and heartbreak, to a place where that is passed away forever and forever. It is my great privilege and honor as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and a preacher of the gospel today to invite you right now to bow your head right where you are. Say, Lord, if you love me enough to die for me, I reverence you enough to accept you as my Lord and personal Savior. I repent of my sins. Forgive me. Thank you for dying that I can be forgiven. Oh, Jesus, come into my heart right now. Save my soul. Restore my soul like David said that you would do. And give me a new life, a new outlook on life, a new sense of value and worth. Oh, God loves you today, friend. If you prayed that prayer, you give God glory right now. You learn more about Him. fall deeply, deeply in love with Him and serve Him with everything that you are. If you're a Christian today, you've grown cold in your heart, I invite you to revisit Calvary this Christmas season and fall once again deeply in love with Jesus Christ. I hope you tune in next week as we move into this great Christmas season and talk about the only thing worth talking about at this time of year, Jesus Christ. God bless you.